Moncrief on News Talk.
Joanna Fortune joins us in studio. And as always, you can email afternoon@newstalk.com for your questions. As always, hi Joanna, how are you?
Good, how are you, Fionnuala?
God, we've got some juicy ones today. Yeah. I'm very excited to hear your take on this. We'll start with this one. My son is moving to a new school for secondary school and the plan is that he will be boarding because it is a bit further away. In our family, we have always boarded and everyone has had brilliant experiences. It is the same school that his dad and uncles went to, so I'm not worried about the school, but I am worried about how he will manage. He is our eldest and it will be a big adjustment. Part of me is dreading it because it is a real chapter of maturity and he'll be among so many older kids. How do I prepare him for living away from us and encourage him that it will be a great experience? He has two friends who will be going too, so I think that will help and I know in some ways he is excited. Secondary school at the best of times is daunting, but what specific things should I say or do at this point? He knows he can always come home after a year if he hates it, but I really do believe it's the best place for him.
This is one of those beautiful questions that's asking and answering its own question as it goes through there. You know, I think the one who's holding some of the bubbling anticipation, I'm not even going to say anxiety because I think it's anticipation, is the parent writing into us. You know, I think this is very hard to let your child go because that transition between primary into secondary school, which tons of families out there right now are planning for and getting ready for, it's a big leap because our kids go from being the biggest of a small school to being the smallest in a much bigger school. So it's a huge transition, not just maturity, just handling that. And add into that that it's a sleepaway school, you know, it's a boarding school. So he's going to have to manage all of the transitions during his day, but also those take responsibility for himself, getting himself ready and changed and all of those things that a lot of kids his age, before everybody emails in saying he's well able, I'm sure he is, but a lot of kids his age need a good parental roar up the stairs or whatever to encourage them to do those things for themselves. So I get it. There's context to this. But the key word in this question is it's going to be a big adjustment. It is. And there's nothing you can do to kind of short circuit that or, you know, deny him that experience. To adjust, he needs time.
Yeah.
And as parents, you guys need time. I do think, you know, I'd be wondering, has he slept away from home before? And I don't just mean one night in granny while, you know, parents go out for the night. But has he had sleepaway camp? You know, something with the scouts or something like that where he's been away for a few nights. How did that go? Making sure in terms of what can you say to him, don't do that thing that us parents are so ripe to do, which is it'll be great, it'll be great, it'll be great. We don't know that. And he's allowed to have highs and lows. He's allowed to struggle. He's allowed to be dubious. All of that is valid. Instead, make sure that he knows how to organize his clothes, organize his sleeping area, his bedroom, that he knows how to organize his school bag for himself, get the right books and the right schedule, things that you can practically help him with. Even just basic snacks and making hot drinks for himself. Again, it sounds so basic, but these are things a lot of kids just have handed to them. So they're not ready for it. Practical things, managing the bathroom, shower, tidying up after himself, things that won't be tolerated when he's at school that he might get away with at home. Those are the practical things to prep him for. I think I, you know, given his dad and his uncles also went to this school, it might be a good idea to have them talk with him about positive stories. Now, no, back in my day.
Glory days. Don't
none
do that.
Of those stories, but positive stories about it and some practical tips they could give him. Oh, I found this really helpful. Or my first term, I wish I'd brought this or didn't bring that. Practical things like that. And I think the fact that as a parent, you've said you can come home if you hate it. You've given him the out. Now give him the space to work out how he truly feels about it.
Absolutely. Give him the space to enjoy it as well.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Keep it practical. Keep it practical. Next one. I have a 13-year-old daughter and we have always had a good relationship, but I find recently that she has completely shut me out. I understand she is maturing and it is at this point where you naturally rebel and want to spend time with your friends, but she is being very rude to me. We'd arranged to spend a day shopping together and I booked the day off work. Then when it came down to it, she said she didn't want to go and just refused. I know it wasn't about the shopping because she loves clothes, so it was that she didn't want to spend a day with me. She is sulky and ignoring me and then completely the life and soul of the party around her friends. I know teenage girls can rebel against their mothers, but I didn't expect this treatment. There have never been any issues in school and she is very polite to everyone else. It just seems to be me that bears the brunt. How do I handle it to get her to talk to me, or have I lost my sweet daughter until she grows up? Oh my God, there's a few different questions there, I feel.
Isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you and I have been 13-year-old girls. We know.
Oh my God, and I was a melt. Sorry, ma'am.
But you know yourself, and this parent knows it too at some level. There's these adjustments that teenagers go through. None of them are terribly pleasant, but they are developmentally typical and normal. And one of the ones is an adjustment around abandonment, where teenagers, especially this early to mid-adolescence, which is exactly where this girl is, 13 right up to 15, where they're going to actively deprioritize family as the important hub of social emotional development, and they are going to prioritize their peer group and the outside world as being much more relevant, much more important. It'd be easy for me to say, oh, she's pushing against you, mum, because it's safe for her to do so. She knows you're going to love her anyway. And all of that's true. But I don't want it to sound dismissive, because I can feel in this letter that there's a bristling from the parent, and it really is about a perceived lack, or maybe actual lack of respect. Mm. And I think that's very hard when I'm like, that's disrespectful. You can call her out on that, but do it in a way that keeps the door of communication open. So you don't want to do this big lecture, you know, oh, you're so rude and you're so this and you're so, and everything is finger pointing, finger wagging, you. With teenagers, you want to take as much accountability as possible and own it and say, you know, look, I took a day's leave to spend the day with you. It's feeling disrespectful to me that you're cancelling at the last minute. But you know what? I'm going to take myself out for a nice lunch. I'm not going to waste my day off, or I'm going to meet a friend of mine. But know that I'd like to spend a day shopping with you at another time.
Mm.
So you're making it clear, but you're also letting her know you hold the power for how you spend your own time. So her cancelling the day doesn't mean she's ruined your day. Mm. She has to see that you do other stuff with her.
Yeah. I wonder, is there a bit of a fear of confrontation, as you said, like that they don't feel like they can establish that I have been disrespected here, I took the day off work, and they don't want to start a fight because maybe they'll be seen as like uncool, or the whole thing feeding into this narrative that they believe the daughter already has.
It is, and that confrontation piece is unavoidable in adolescence. So if you are a conflict averse parent or person, and as a parent during this phase of your child's adolescence, it's going to be very difficult because she's going to pursue conflict.
Yeah.
You know, she's hardwired for it.
Yeah.
And as a parent, you feel like, but I planned this beautiful day. This was all, she loves to shop. Why wouldn't she? It's clearly me she's rejecting. God knows, she could have woken up that morning, just not felt well, felt a bit bloated, not been in the mood to try on clothes, had a falling out with a friend on her over her phone or something. You know, so it could have been anything. She's like, I'm just not going.
Mm.
We can personalize a lot. It feels very personal when you're at the receiving end of this. The important thing is that you keep the door of communication open so she can circle back in a number of years when she's through this phase of development and find you again. You know, it's actually, though, very difficult for Nuala as well. Like a child who once happily held your hand while skipping down the road and you were everything to that child now doesn't want to be seen in public with you. That's very painful.
Yeah.
And there's no way of dressing that up. Like, that's very painful. That can feel like it's a rejection, not just an abandonment, but a rejection. But I do think that because she can be the life and soul with her friends, great, by the way, great. She has those social skills. So, you know, keep those up.
Yep.
But also one of the things we can do for our kids at this age is model healthy friendship behaviors ourselves. Let her see you go out with your friends. Let her see you and hear you talk positively about your friends and, you know, protect and invest in your own friendship, which in those early years of parenting, it's quite easy to get lost and consumed by everything being about home and your children. Take this opportunity, be interested in what interests her. Let her know you'd love to spend a day together. If there's a movie, you know, she'd like, say, I'd love to see that with you. And if she's like rolling her eyes and saying no, you have to Teflon coat yourself so it just floats off you.
Yeah.
So that you can live to tell another tale another day.
Yeah.
She will come round. The key thing is to name That's not respectful. I did take the day off. But you know what? I hear you that you don't want to go. I'm taking myself out. I'm going to get my nails done. I'm going to get my hair done. I'm going to go for a lovely lunch and let her know.
Yep.
That's what I'm doing.
Yep.
And I will have a great day.
Yep.
Catch you again. And you smile as you back out the house, even if it's giving you lockjaw while you're doing it. But you've almost got to play her at that while keeping the communication lines open, because that's essential.
Yeah. It can be disrespectful, but might not always be personal. That's the thing
that's
to remember.
That's the key. Yeah. Exactly.
A reminder, if you want to email in, it's afternoon@newstalk.com with any questions for Joanna. I thought this one was really interesting because I think it applies to me, even though this question is technically about a child. I'm really upset about what iPads, smartphones and video games have done to my eldest son. He's now 13 and I have to say I was really looking forward to introducing him to the films, books and music that I was becoming interested in when I was his age. I can't get him to sit still for any of it though. I've tried playing him some songs or watching some films that I felt couldn't fail, but they did. The thing is, he obviously doesn't have to like what I liked, but he doesn't seem capable of paying attention to anything that isn't mind-numbing and instantly gratifying. He's a smart kid, but I feel like he's missing out on an art and the joy it can bring. Outside of video games, I can't think of any type of art he's at all engaged in. Surely this can't be good for him. How do I show him the value of these things?
I love that you said that this could apply to us just as much as this.
My attention span is gone. Now, I will say, having read this again, I feel like some people would argue that video games are actually probably helping their attention span if they're sitting down at the... Now, I say this as someone without children because I can see the people running to their phones. I don't have children. But you know, you're playing Minecraft. If you're concentrating on that for an hour and you're building, oh, I don't know, a castle, whatever they do in Minecraft, you're concentrating on that. I think social media and phones and videos, I think that can be a different
thing.
It's a different thing.
No, but you're right. And the research would kind of echo what you're saying, to be honest. A lot of the research in this area can be somewhat contradictory depending on how you frame the question you're looking for. Or you'll get the research to suit what you're looking to find out, because it is a little contradictory. But there, it is fair to say that there is evidence to suggest that smart technology, particularly like you were saying, social media, things like that, that it does impact our attention spans. And it's basically that our brains are in receipt of a constant flow of short form content. So it's bite-sized, 90 seconds, 60 seconds, little bits, little bits, little bits. And we're going, give me more, give me more. And you do, then your brain is rewiring itself so that it's seeking that instant gratification that a long movie or a slow read of a book does not give us. Now, I love books. So I'd be that person who's like, bear with it, you know, go with the story, be in the story, it's there. But I also understand that when you talk about a 13-year-old who, you know, as a parent, you're upset about what iPad, smartphone, video games have done. And this is not blaming or shaming. It's just stating a fact. You gave him that technology. So he, you know what I mean? Like, you gave it to him. And so in lots of ways, we're looking at, oh, really, the question is, I'm upset that I didn't realize the effect this would have when I gave it to my child. And, you know, I'm openly on the record on this show as saying, delay the point of access for as long as we possibly can to smart technology and make sure that our kids have access to experiential, relational, play, activity, and looking and books. I mean, I think books are a great gift to give. Now, all of that said, we have to be, I just said about this other teenage question, we have to be interested in what interests our children, because it teaches them they're interesting. There's a lot in this letter about, I want my child to be interested in what interests me. That's just not the way it works. But we can, of course, find something. And we've all been guilty of this. Even, you know, as the book reader, and I'm talking about books here, I've brought books out that I read as a child, almost demanding that my child also love those books. And they don't, and you feel, oh, what's wrong with you? This is perfect. But you could try, instead of saying, let's watch this movie I loved at your age, why not get into a 30-minute show series, you know, where the episodes are 20, 30 minutes long, and you could both get into it and you can watch a series or multiple series together and follow it. That's something you could do, and you're only asking him for 20, 30 minutes in any sitting. You could also look at graphic novels as well, because you can often, you mentioned things like Minecraft and games there, and he games, this little kid. So you could take something that is related to a game but has been franchised out into other products like graphic novels and books, and again, do that with him.
Yeah.
And try to just tune into what is it about these things he likes, because it might be worth sitting and getting an extra handset and joining him in a game and saying, hey, teach me how to do this. If the ultimate aim, and I think it is here, is to establish connection, then look at lots of ways of doing it rather than when I was 13, this is what I loved. Because if you build that connection, he might begin to ask you as parent, oh, what did you do at my age? Oh, show me that. You want the interest to come, not that, hey, you've got to clock up some time with me here and do what I ask you to do. Because again, he's 13 and he's wired to resist that.
Yeah. You don't want them to see it as a chore. You want them to see
it as
something genuinely interesting.
But it is about connection.
Yeah.
And you can build connection in a myriad of different ways. But when it comes to extending attention span, really what we're talking about here is prolonging. It's really that capacity for prolonged engagement. So don't think of it just as attention span, but can he get engaged in something with you and stay engaged, even if that's a 10-episode show that you watch over a 2-week period? That's 2 weeks of engagement. Mm. That's consistent. So just again, challenging how you do this and understanding that, you know, being 13 now is different to how it was even one generation ago.
Oh God, that's for sure. Another one for you. My 16-year-old daughter is going out with a boy the same age for the last 9 months. They see each other once a week and she is mad about him. It has been a busy summer for both of them with holidays and summer camps and everything, so it hasn't been so regular. Recently, we were going on a family holiday and he was going away straight after, which meant they wouldn't see each other for 4 weeks. My daughter was hurt as he prioritised his friends, parties, sport and work before seeing her before we left. This is not the first time. I said it to her, it looks like she is not high on the list, his list, and she deserved better than that. She said she doesn't care, that that's what boys are like. I told her she wouldn't do that to him. She said she was embarrassed enough without me pointing it out. Ugh. I'm sad she thinks so little of herself. She's a very kind girl and has been very supportive to him. My husband thinks it's not an issue. Was I right to point it out to her? I feel he's taking her for granted or letting her down gently. What should I do?
Stay out of directly commenting on her relationship.
God.
I get it though. You know, I do get, you know, if you see your child being your beautiful teenage girl and she's being disrespected as you perceive it, you know, it's hard not to go, well, listen, if you mattered more, he would do this. But all she hears is, you think I don't matter. Because the negative bias is very loud at that age. I also think, there's a life lesson here for us in with adults too. Just don't directly comment on people's relationships like that, because it would be much more effective to reframe his prioritizing his own interests, life, friends, activities, sports, job, whatever it is, which he's a 16-year-old. This makes sense. These are two 16-year-olds. But you could reframe it as an opportunity for her to see and spend time with her own friends. Look, you've got this time. Why don't you go and spend it with your friends? Why don't you go and invite people over here and we'll have a pizza and whatever it is you want to do? You know, so that you tell her what she can do at the time rather than, well, look, he's not calling you. Mm. He's not checking up on you. I think if you want to, what you want is that she sees and feels that she deserves better, not that you as her parent are telling her that he's treating her badly. So focus on building her self-esteem. You know, and other things you could do, again, it links back to that first question we were talking about with the teenager who doesn't want to spend time with their mother, but this girl is now 16, things do begin to change. You could say, look, I see you're free. Don't say why, because he didn't call or anything like that, but just, I see you're free. Would you like to come and get your nails done with me? Do you want to go and get a blow dry? I was going to go do that. You know, do you fancy coming out for coffee and cake or pizza or whatever it is? Saying to her, do you want to go do something that's for you? A little bit of nurture, a bit of self-care, a bit of pampering. Again, reinforcing you are deserving of good care. I'm here to support you and take care of you. You are worthy. And just doing that in practical ways. And you can talk to her and, you know, really just listen to her more. Don't lecture her about things, but just listen to her about what does she like about him? What does she like to do? What interests her at the moment? And that way you can tell her that you really enjoy spending time with her and how enjoyable that was. She then is learning, oh, it's nice to feel appreciated. It's nice to feel enjoyed. All of that then sets her in pursuit of that in other relationships and connections with her life. I'd encourage her to spend more time with her friends, though, as well in those times. But do not comment directly on her relationship.
Yeah, good advice, I think. Joanna Fortune, thank you so much for joining us.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.